Good morning. It's so good to be together on this Lord's Day morning. Have you ever thought about the difference between cowboys, which I love, and shepherds? In some ways, they seem very similar. They're both tending to their herds. But while cowboys prod with the cattle prod, shepherds lead by their staff and their rod. Not a lasso, not a driver. Instead of driving, they lead. Instead of hollering, the sheep know their voice, and they know their sheep. The way God describes shepherding is a unique vocation. It goes back to all of the patriarchs and David, the great king of Israel, to Moses, who called people out. In fact, they both, when they were called, were out shepherding the sheep. And God said, now you will shepherd my human sheep. Shepherding is a defining metaphor in the Bible for leaders. It is a unique picture. Most cowboys would never imagine seeing cattle the way the Bible describes a shepherd's relationship with his sheep, especially as a metaphor for the great shepherd, God's relationship with us. Today we appoint a new elder. After the sermon and invitation song, we'll have a prayer and then appoint Ralph Eldridge as a shepherd of this church. A blessed and happy day, something we've been praying about a long time. And we're grateful to God for the leadership that we have continually been blessed with in this church. What a gift it is to be shepherded. Before we do that, let's think about the one great shepherd that all other shepherds look to. Let's study the chief shepherd that all of the shepherds of God's church follow the example of. I want to look at three truths from Ezekiel chapter 34, and we'll bounce around because there's so much in the Bible about shepherds, but mostly focusing in on what God says to shepherds and about his sheep here. When I mentioned, Dave asked me what I was preaching on as the song leader, and he said, boy, that is a sobering passage for shepherds, for elders. And it is, but it's also an encouraging one because it points to the one shepherd, the one that we all look to. So three truths. The first truth is that we're like sheep. When I was younger, at least in my generation, it was a bad thing to be called a sheep. Like, ugh, you just mindlessly follow the herd. You can't think for yourself. But really, in a way, that is all of us. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all need shepherds. First Peter 5:8 talks about, right after Peter talks to these elders, these shepherds of the church, he warns of a roaring lion that is wandering about trying to devour people. And we all are just fodder for the evil predator that is out for us. We all are lost without God's guidance and protection. And something that we see throughout Scripture, and just a basic truth, is that sheep need shepherding. To be a sheep is to be in need. We are vulnerable, and we are needy. Jesus said, do you remember what he said when he looked out on the crowd in Matthew 9, verses 35 and 36? He saw the crowds, and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And it broke Jesus' heart. He had such compassion on them, and he sent the disciples out because of that. He said, the fields are white for harvest because the sheep need a shepherd. Do you remember what he told Peter three times after his resurrection? Remember, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend to my sheep. If you love me, Peter, you need to go care for my flock because they need someone to look out for them. And so God seeks good shepherds for his people. He wants leaders who act as a shepherd. And that's what we find here in Ezekiel 34. This whole chapter is a condemnation against the shepherds of Israel. And he speaks to the rulers. These weren't the literal shepherds of Israel. These were the rulers, the elders, the priests, the false prophets, all of their leaders he condemns in different chapters of Ezekiel. And he says, you have not shepherded my sheep as you should have. In fact, the shepherds became the predators. They were taking advantage, using their position to get rich and devour the sheep. And God says, I'm going to judge the shepherds, and I'm going to judge between the sheep. Sheep is also eating up sheep. And so he says, I'm judging my people. I'm judging the leaders. I'm judging all of you because I want good shepherds. And it's interesting, he says this in the negative as a charge, but if we read this there in verses 3 and 4 and 8, you see what the job of a shepherd is by what he says they didn't do. He says that they didn't strengthen the weak. They didn't heal the sick. They didn't bind up the injured or feed them. They didn't bring back the straying, seek the lost. They led with harshness instead of gentleness. And they didn't protect the human sheep of God, as he calls them at the end of the chapter, from predators. That was their job. And they were not only asleep at the wheel, not only neglecting their duty, but they became those who are most dangerous among the sheep. But truth number two, God declares, they're not your sheep, all of you shepherds of Israel. These are my sheep. And he determines that he will get involved. He claims us as his own sheep. And he says, I will ensure their care. I will act. I will do what must be done. Powerful statements, beginning there in verse 11 of Ezekiel 34 that Bob read to us earlier. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a human seeks out, or as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered. He says in verse 31, the last verse of the chapter, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Do you see the gift of mighty God declaring that we are under his protection? We are under his leadership. He claims us and says, you're mine, and I've got you. You follow me, I will lead you to those good pastures. At a recent meetup study, we looked at David and different lessons from David, what made him a man after God's own heart. And looking at some of his Psalms, we of course went to the greatest poem ever about shepherds and sheep, the most famous words in the world were from King David, who himself was a shepherd and then was declared by God to be the shepherd of his people. And David said these words, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I asked the class, if you had to grab on to one phrase from this beautiful passage full of perfect phrases that helps you, that has strengthened you through the years, comforted you in trial, what would you choose? One sister said with a smile, you know, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. Another brother said, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, and look back on a life where all of these bad choices we could have, we've all made bad choices, but without his guidance, leading us in the paths of righteousness, without him telling us the way, what tragedy would have fallen on us? What would you call your favorite? The still waters and the green, lush pastures that he brings us to, the fact that through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because his rod and his staff comforted us, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. A powerful, beautiful picture of shepherding. And Ezekiel echoes those words of David talking about lying down and seeking the lost and strengthening us and the rich pasture land he'll make us to eat. He will give his sheep peace, safety. And in verse 17, he says, here's what I'm going to feed them with. Here's your food. I'm going to feed them with justice. At last, the goodness and righteousness, the righteous rule of God that brings the blessing on his people. And the third truth is that there is one perfect shepherd that God has given. In this chapter, we find a messianic prophecy. He says in Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, David died like 500 years before this. What's going on? As Peter will say in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, his grave is here in town. He is seeing corruption. So what is going on? Well, there was a promise that David would, from his offspring, be made into a house of rulers through which the Messiah would come. He says, I will raise up my servant David to be their prince and their shepherd, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. But wait a minute, I thought God just said he was the shepherd. And there's only one shepherd now, he's saying. So what's the deal here going on with God being the shepherd and David being the shepherd? How can this be? Christopher Wright, in his commentary on Ezekiel, put it well. He said, the coming ruler will embody all that the rule of Yahweh himself implies. Like the equally mysterious Emmanuel figure, this is not a new problem, the idea of a human ruler and God being the ruler, but they're the same ruler. How does this work, right? God with us is what Emmanuel means. Like the equally mysterious Emmanuel figure in Isaiah, his presence will embody the presence of God himself and all that comes with it. He is the presence of God with us. And yet he came as a man. And he came dying for us to save us, raising again to defeat death on our behalf, the great victor who gives us hope and confidence beyond the grave, in the face of any trial, any threat. This ruler leads us reliably to safety. Praise God for Jesus and who he is for us. Jesus, the promised Messiah from the line of David, the Son of God, sent to feed us and lead us. John 10 has to be the second most famous passage about a shepherd, right? John 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The thief comes to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. His lost sheep are out and about, and he goes out into the wilderness to chase them and bring back the one wanderer to seek and save the lost. His sheep hear his voice and know his voice. His sheep know him and he knows his. He is the one who God the Father has placed before us as the King, the Christ, the one who rules with all authority. I think sometimes I have this picture. It comes from all the children's books through the years of pictures of Jesus. You know, you get the picture of that blue-eyed Jesus that is everything. He's always got the white and the blue sash, and everything is happy and easy and gentle. And with that comes this picture of a shepherd that is walking through this beautiful Psalm 23 kind of a lush grass by still water, and everything is just this happy, easy life. But I got to tell you, being a shepherd in the first century was not for wimps. It was a rough job. We read about David fighting bears and lions. And here in John 10, Jesus talks about risking his life and, in fact, laying down his life for the sheep. A shepherd is a warrior who protects his own, protects his flock with his life, and takes his life in his hand every day that he's out protecting them, guarding them from whatever might come. And the sheep come to trust that, to know where he leads is good, and when there's danger, flock to him. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Jesus calls his people to follow him. Jesus calls all people to follow him, to yield their own will and trust in him and the good paths he will lead us in, and say, okay, I have a tendency to wander, but I'm going to follow you instead. He saves us by his death. Whenever we come to him, confessing him as Lord and Christ, the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism for the remission of our sins, raising again a new person, a child of God, part of his human flock of sheep, ready to live with him forever, a life abundant. If you're ready to follow Jesus, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.